Bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin. But they still reveal things to us as they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table. The story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Bone Throwers Theater and this special episode of Microscope. My name's Jeff.
And I'm Jordan, and I'm really excited for this world, which we have not yet named.
My name is Aaron, and we did. It's the Taste of Space.
We have not yet named.
And I am Jeremy.
This is Johnny.
I'm Ellie.
We've got the whole group at the table again.
Yes.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah. And the villagers all rejoiced.
Yay.
At least they didn't go for their pitchforks. They're always more excited for the pitchforks than the rejoicing.
So yeah, we mentioned that we haven't really named this world that we're building yet. So you may hear us say, oh, that sounds like a good name. And then... to contact us and say, why didn't you pick that name? Because it's ended up as something else. So we have one title that we came up with last time that could be, depending on the era that we pick.
Oh, what was that?
Parallel Worlds.
Yeah, I like the sound of that name.
Not the Taste of Space.
If Coke wants to sponsor us...
Sponsor us.
The name of the bar?
Yeah, the name of the bar. We could just call the campaign that.
Was there a name for the bar?
Yeah, there was. It meant, like...
No, that was the name of the planet. That was the name of the whole planet.
Yeah. I thought it was just the name of the bar. That's even funnier.
So, yes, as you can tell, we do have two new players at the table. They're joining us in medias res, I guess you could say, in the middle of the creation. Ellie and Jeff, welcome. Thank you for joining us again. So, we would like to include some ideas from the two of you into this game. So... the way that Microscope works is that there's a list of games, movies, books, music, songs, you know, anything that you want.
Inspiration.
That provides some inspiration for play. So we've already gone through Aaron, Jeremy, Johnny, and myself. We've already put our inspirations in. And so we were just wondering if you had something that might have been on the top of your mind that would just kind of guide your thoughts about how you would like this world to be developed. Just to share a little bit of what we had chosen before, Aaron had selected the Cytonic series by Brandon Sanderson. And the reason he had selected that is that humanity is not the predominant interstellar species. Jeremy had chosen the TV show Sliders because it has multiple dimensions and realities. Johnny, another prime choice, chose the Ender's Game series because it had a lot of colonization happening with planets that had many different cultures. And what's really interesting is, like, even the planets that are settled by humans, those humans have their own individual cultures as well, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I had chosen Farscape because it has an animistic approach to technology and belief. So, like, Moya, the spaceship, is alive, actually gets pregnant, has a kid.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Also, one of the characters on Farscape is a plant that looks like a human, so she actually requires sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's like a cool idea as well.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. The actress was only able to be on the show for like 1.5 seasons because she actually developed an allergy to the makeup they had to use. Oh, so
really?
That's why she left the show.
Oh, dang.
But anyway.
Anyways, inspirations from you two.
Space Cowboy, song.
The song?
Song Space Cowboy.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a musical inspiration.
Yeah, it could be.
Space Oddity, David Bowie.
That is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Black Hole Sun.
Black Hole Sun?
Mm-hmm.
That's your...
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
So what do you think the inspiration from Black Hole Sun would you pull from that?
What's that line about the screaming?
See, here we go. Dark. There we go.
In my eyes, indisposed, in disguise, no one knows. Hides the face, lies the snake, and the sun in my disgrace. Boiling heat, summer stench, neath the black, the sky looks dead.
Tay. You just described Tay from the bar.
Call my name. Know more about Tay.
Call my name through the cream, and I'll hear you scream again. Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain? Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Stuttering, cold and damp. Steal the warm wind, tired friend. Times are gone for honest men. Sometimes far too long for snakes. In my shoes, walking sleep. In my youth, I pray to keep. Heaven send hell away. No one sings like you anymore. Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain? Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come? Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain?
And then there is also another hang my head, drown my fear, till you all just disappear.
Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain?
And more black hole suns.
Yes. Lots of black hole suns.
It's a lot more depressing and dark than I realized. Like, I think looking back at 90s music always had like, now that one does sound really mellow, but a lot of 90s music, is early 2000s music, is like really, really dark, depressing lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. Mm-hmm. Is there a specific lyric or anything that speaks to you?
Hides the face, lies the snake. I really like that one. In disguises, no one knows. And then, as I was listening to you guys spout some of the things that you have written down here, as well as looking at some of the notes that were given on the previous Microscope episodes, neath the black, the sky looks dead would be interesting to use as well.
Yes, yeah, stars dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it, but...
The sky looks dead. It sounds something like a movie from Firefly.
Yeah.
That River would say. She was like, what are you staring at? The sky looks dead. What?
Yeah.
That is a really good inspiration. I like it.
Thank you.
Jafafa? Inspirations?
The spread of Christianity.
Okay.
I want to use that as an inspiration because... It was a pretty slow spread at start, and then it just exploded outwards from its origin points. That's how I want the races to, you know, expand through space, obviously, and also these protectors going through space, and people are like, wow, these people are doing a really good job protecting us, and, you know, turning to these demis or immortals. Or whatever.
Almost like missionaries for the...
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. So, in addition to our inspirations, there's something called the palette. And the palette is a list of things that we agree on. Things to include and things to leave out. So, these are what we've got so far. We've said yes to the idea that there is life that exists between the worlds. Like something that has evolved to exist in the outer space itself rather than on a planet.
Mm-hmm.
We said that there is travel between dimensions. We said that habitable bodies like planets and moons and things along those lines have orbital rings because those act like breakers for the wildness of space. We also said that there are immortal beings and demi-beings. And so the idea of demi-beings implicitly states that there is carnal relations between mortals and immortals.
Yeah, there is.
Every Wednesday.
At nine!
We also said that there's an yes to interstellar governing bodies like the Federation of Planets in Star Trek, or I guess the Empire in Star Wars. We said that there is a wide variety of aliens, including things like sentient flightless birds. And maybe now, thanks to black hole suns, maybe reptiles as well. Things that we have said no to. No to artificial intelligence. So unfortunately, Archie will not be ported over, sadly. We also said no laser swords, because we thought that might be getting a little too close to some certain or intellectual
any,
property.
Any franchise, intellectual franchise thing. So no, like, ring of water that is going to take you across space.
Yes.
Yes.
No intentional time travel, correct?
Yes. No intentional time travel. You are correct.
Accidental time travel.
That always happens with wormholes.
Yep.
No chemical warfare, i.e. DNA targeting, which was an interesting idea. And also, no viewpoints that rely on nihilism as a starting philosophy. That's the end of the list of yes and no's. So at this point, if you all would like to add any yeses or no's, we can go ahead and discuss those ideas.
Yes to a limited amount of habitable planets.
So we already do have the limiter of it has to have rings around it.
Yeah.
So if a planet doesn't have rings, it can't be.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have infinite numbers of planets.
Yeah.
Makes sense. The Goldilocks zone is only so big, and it only exists around so many stars. There's some stars that would not support life, so... Any other yeses or no's?
I want to declare something and see if it works. No to Jeff rolling once.
Yes!
We'll see if it
works.
I'm
game for this one.
I can't really put that in the documentation.
So if you put that in documentation, all my ones will automatically become twos.
No.
Can we do that?
Oh.
Rolled a one.
You had a one in three chance of not rolling a one.
Yep.
Ellie, it looks like you have a thought that's percolating up.
No, I was just doing a Mr. Ed face. Sorry.
When you have a two-year-old, you come up with all of the expressions.
Some peanut butter around the underside of your lips. Help you move your mouth correctly.
Gotcha.
Yes to forced evolution.
Like genetically enhanced?
Yeah. It doesn't fall under the genetic, the warfare, because it's... Yeah.
Would we accept that as somebody playable?
A forced evolutionary character that evolves throughout the campaign?
Well, was just
I don't know about throughout the campaign.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know about that.
Either somebody that was genetically modified, a GMO, if you will, or, a talking plant person.
So, last Ender's Game book, the one was just published this year, encounter a planet where there are sentient birds that came from Earth, actually.
Hmm.
And they just, through genetic breeding over the centuries, they always chose the smartest birds to breed together and eventually developed sentience. So that's forced evolution.
Has anybody else read the series The Uplift Wars by David Brin? It's a very similar concept, is that like there were some species that evolved naturally to be have intelligence, and then those species started uplifting other creatures to intelligence. And so the ones that the humans uplifted were like chimpanzees and dolphins and maybe dogs as well. And then the rest of the different uplifted species vote on whether or not to accept that those creatures have actually achieved sapience.
It's like an advanced version of herd calling.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we will go ahead and move on to the history. Ellie, if you think about another yes or no that you're interested in.
What about yes to divides amongst the classes?
Yes to class divides. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say yes to stratified caste systems. Okay. Does that work?
Yes.
And that could be just, individual plant species type of thing also.
Yeah. Which could have some really fun roleplay implications.
Uh-huh. Yes, it could. I mean, that could be how the Light Atua and all them separate out into different groups,
Uh-huh. It could be their caste system.
Yeah.
It could be.
I like it. It even plays into some of how some of the things that we already have on the table could have come about.
The Kapua or High Society.
Uh-huh. Which is why they were thought to be behind the disappearances.
Well, saying that would be kind of ironic is because they're viewed as the mischief makers.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, Johnny.
All right, so I need to choose a focus.
That is correct.
I am the lens.
There are three errors that have been explored.
Yes.
Does he have to choose one that's on the table, or can he create a new one?
No, he can create a new one.
A new one.
The lens can choose to create two things on their turn. So as long as they're nested inside each other, either a new event plus a scene inside that event, or a new period plus an event inside that period. So if you want to go with something completely brand new and then create an event as the starting point, then that would be fine as well.
Or you could also just choose one of the existing periods. We keep interchanging era and period.
Yes, we do. Time. What's the very first one?
Accidental interdimensional travelers bring knowledge of interstellar travel capabilities.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, no. If he says perfect that quickly, that means he's derailing it somehow.
I just wanted to make sure mine was going right after that.
Ah.
So you're creating one in between.
Yes.
Before divine beings show up.
Yes.
Okay.
So, the period is known as the Great Migration. Its colonies expand to new, previously unexplored areas of the galaxy.
So that is between accidental interdimensional travelers and divine beings show up on the planet.
Yes.
That sounds light.
Yes, and underneath of that, I have the event of discovery of new planets brings about introduction of new species.
So while Jordan is typing, now would be your time to start thinking of, do you want to create another event in that period? Or you could do a scene. You'd say a group of explorers going to one of the planets and do a scene of...
Like a first contact
situation? First contact scene,
or...
So me just speaking out loud, not necessarily like, this is the full, you know, molded idea. Yeah. Before even arriving at a uncharted planet, unexplored, whatever, there was a discovery of a map of stars, but on the way to this planet, somebody very important high up died of unknown causes.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead and write that down.
I like that.
You also get to determine whether it is a light scene, right, something that's positive, or a dark scene, which is...
He's dead.
Well, if he was a tyrant.
It could be.
Yeah. But I would also like to note that I want it known that the use of the map of stars did not lead them to the correct place. They just kind of... You know how circling the world, they didn't, you know, necessarily land where they wanted to or where they thought they landed. Mm-hmm. That kind of exploration.
Sure.
Yeah. But the map of stars still hasn't been, you know, solved.
Okay. So it sounds to me like you're trying to come up with a scene rather than an event.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So scenes can be done two different ways. You can take full control of the scene and dictate everything that happens. But the scene has to start with a question that you're answering. And the scene will answer that question.
So basically a scene is like when we role play something out.
It doesn't have to be. You can dictate it. You can make it a solo scene. You can say everything that happens in the scene. Or you could pose the question and we will all answer it together by role playing.
Okay. Question being, what has been discovered on this uncharted planet? Let's say when they arrive, there's a gigantic wall, but there's a single opening. When originally arriving, it seems like an abandoned planet, but soon natives emerge and take one of the crew members for sacrifice to an unknown creature.
When we're talking about the wall, does it look like it's made by a primitive technology, or does it look like it's really advanced?
Mud, clay. Looks like it was painstakingly carven on the outside. Inside is barren from any intricate details. There is no gate. You are free to walk in.
It's carvings, writings?
Yes.
So it says something?
It does say something.
Touch only the lamp.
And these explorers are human?
Yes.
So the question that I have is, what has been discovered on this uncharted planet? The answer that I have is a gigantic wall with one single opening. The wall is painstakingly carved on the outside, but bearing on the inside, and it has no gate. The planet seems abandoned, but it isn't. A human crew member is taken for sacrifice to an unknown creature.
Visibly taken?
Visibly taken. Some of the other crew members were disposed of, and others were able to escape into other parts of the planet, and others were able to retreat.
This sounds like it has some interesting ramifications. Ellie, do you think this scene is light or dark?
I mean, the only sad or dark part about it is
the prison get kidnapped.
No. The men visibly taken and disposed of, but not the sacrifice. You don't know what the creature's doing with the sacrifices, or if it is a creature at all. Maybe there is a greater being adopting their children.
So when you say human sacrifice, out of Malika, people think of, oh, they're being killed.
Yeah.
Right, but it could be bringing them into part of the Attila.
So you're not saying the sacrificing is a killing sacrifice.
Correct.
It is a giving really, to.
Okay.
Sacrifice. It's a gifting.
Think of King Kong and her being given, but they don't know what happens to her. Maybe the monster creature or whatever chooses. So it could be light. Maybe he found a dad. Dark.
But it's dark.
I love the explanation. This could be light because of this.
No, it's dark.
Yeah.
Despite your very convincing argument.
I know.
That's perfectly fine. We can go with that. So to show that it is a dark scene, just go ahead and draw a circle on the card and then fill it in. And then that will go like...
Kind of makes sense to go after. And Jeff, you're up.
Okay, so we're actually going to take two things, make them one, and have lizard plant people.
Lint.
Lint people.
You sure they're not plazards?
We're going to go with plazards.
We're not calling them that.
No, we're
I'm
not
sorry.
Calling them.
No plazards.
I would call them lint before I would call them plazards.
What's a good plant name?
Fern. Susan.
No, I'm trying to think of a race name for the plizards.
Describe their life cycle to me.
They start out as plant-like creatures that are eggs. You know, when they're fertilized, they start growing leaves, and then they use the sustenance from the sun instead of from their mother to start growing.
So do these eggs kind of look like giant fruit of some sort?
Kinda, except I'm thinking more like a seed, a seedling when it first starts sprouting.
Ano is seed.
Ano? Okay.
Anomoa, seed lizard.
Really?
Well, not it's not in the book, but seed, Ano, lizard, moo. Okay. Anomoa.
Anomoa.
That's a good species name.
Oh. Okay. When they're eggs, they look like seedlings that are just sprouting, you know, plants growing out of the top of them. They use that to grow and get bigger until they hatch. And then they have plant-like scales that they use to, you know, feed off the sunlight. And they breathe out oxygen, fresh, pure oxygen. And when mixed with certain elements, you get a spark and a flame. Yes, dragons.
Plant dragons.
Plant dragons! I'm awesome. We're going to say they have 4 underclaws and 2 dexterous hand-like claws. So 6 in total. Sort of like centaurs. They have developed spaceflight and have started expanding before anyone else, and show themselves to be a more dominant, not war-like, but more dominant species, showing their dominance through technological acumen and their ability to teach, set up governments and other likewise entities.
Cool. Write it down.
Yeah.
Dominance through technological, cultural advancement, and teaching.
Okay.
Oh, and teaching. So, nice.
Yeah, so it could be light.
Yeah. And automatically, in the vein of sci-fi, when you say lizard people, you think dark.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. But I like this because it also fits bringing up
the uplifting.
Yeah. Doing some of that genetic modification or evolutionary breeding of the peoples that they encountered. Could be dark. Could be light.
We're going light on that.
Yeah.
Is this going after what Ellie had put in, or is that going before? It can go either way.
Well, yes.
I don't think it has any bearing on...
They're different planets, so it don't matter.
We're going to go before, because they've been doing this quite some times.
That's true.
All right, so it's my turn.
See?
So I have come up with a new alien race, the Dinorrhea. They are 2 meter tall, flightless birds. Dinorrhea explorers begin setting up small colonies in the rings around their home world of Mauna Ohu to hunt nearby space life. They encounter the Anomo'o and set up trade relations. The Dinorrhea begin spreading to other planetary rings with the blessings of the Anomo'o, and that is light.
Yes, that is light. And that is...
After a map of stars.
After the dark scene.
Yes.
It's a light arrow with one dark sheet.
Thanks, Ellie.
You're welcome.
All right. I have a shift in stellar currents begins to dissipate the rings around humanity's homeworld, causing the human civilization to abandon their planet and be dissipated into unknown regions of space.
That sounds dark. Yeah, it's not evil dark, it's just dark.
So, I've created a event. I'm torn. Only because I know what comes next. But during that time, it would be a light event.
Okay.
But it's probably the precursor that brings about a dark event.
Yeah.
So for the sake of the timeline, I'm calling it light.
Sounds good.
An Axilian colonization convoy discovers a planet with segmented rings.
Kind of like what Saturn looks like?
Or no. Gaps, not in orbital layers of the ring, get within
the
ring itself. There is a section that is, it's like ring, no ring. They discover a new element in the ring system and begin mining operations and developing new technologies. And I'm going to put this at the end.
While that is light, it could definitely lead to darkness very quickly.
You mentioned what comes at later. I'm trying to think of how that connects.
I'm sort of alluding to that there's something about the rings.
Oh, okay.
That maybe the Tua, one of the Tua groups are actually the ones mining the rings.
Okay.
So Lens finishes the focus. After each player has taken a turn, the Lens gets to go again and make history one more time.
If I understand, if I remember correctly, in creating the legacy, there's also an event I get to create.
Yes, I believe so. Let me double check that for you. Legacies are common threads that may stretch through time and influence history. A legacy can take many forms. An object, a person, a place, a bloodline, an organization, or even a philosophical ideal. You make legacies to identify things that you think are interesting and want to keep in the spotlight. They are explored during a special phase of play between one focus and the next. Because you aren't restricted by a focus during the legacy phase, it is a broad opportunity to explore something that interests you. Just like anything in the history, a legacy can also be chosen, brought into play, or explored during normal play. The player to the right of the lens looks back over what has happened during this focus and picks something to be a legacy. It has to be something that appeared in play this round, either for the first time or reappearing from earlier in the game. You are not making something new, just singling out something already in history. Choose something you are interested in and want to explore more. It has to be something specific from the history, not a broad concept or an idea. So, as an example, betrayal is not a valid legacy because there's a generic concept. The betrayal of the Sea Tribes works because it's something specific that happens in the history. Write the legacy on a card along with the name of the player. Fold the card in half and stand it up so it doesn't get mixed up with other history cards. The same player picks a legacy and makes an event or dictated scene about it, not a period or played scene. It does not have to be the legacy they just created. Since this is between lenses, there is no required focus, just the legacy itself.
Oh, so I could pick an event anywhere in the timeline that has to do with the legacy.
Yes.
Yeah, it has to be a key from this period, but can be placed anywhere.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Conflict over the ownership of planets caused the need for a governing council. A treaty between four of the leading species form a planetary ownership policy, or POP.
Goes the weasel?
So are you going to hint at what these leading species are?
No. I imagine the...
Well, the Anomoa.
Yeah, Anomoa are one of them.
Yeah. Well, we've identified three.
Yes.
Really? Leading species?
Not three leading, but three species. Four right. species have been identified in this timeline.
So there have been humans, Anomoa, the Dinorrhea, and the Axillion.
Axillion.
So it could be those four.
It could be a different four, and then yeah. later on the humans will be on their way to becoming the fifth uh-huh. race.
Yeah. yeah.
No one else caught it. It's Stargate.
Yeah, I got it. and that'll be at the very end.
The very end, okay. I gotta come up with a legacy.
Oh, and you made that a dark.
Yes.
Dark.
I made that one a dark. Those four species are saying, these are the planets that you're allowed to have.
Oh, okay.
I can see that being pretty dark.
Yeah. Well, we know that one of the four races is not the humans.
Because they're not the predominant species.
And they're currently being dispersed yes. throughout.
Yeah, that's yes. what I'm saying. All right, so here's what I'm thinking as far as a legacy, and I think if this is too vague or this will work. An organized galaxy.
Organized under POP?
Not necessarily under, just as migration happens, things become more organized.
So maybe something like the galaxy becomes more organized after exploration?
Well, yeah, but that, yeah. the legacy was supposed to be one simple aspect of it. Like we have the Shunda Tua. That doesn't really yeah. explain anything. We got disappearing of delegates, and we've got X the bartender. We got a person. So.
Okay, so like the example was betrayal is not something that we can use, but betrayal of the sea people is something that we
can use. I can put it a different way. Galaxy factions.
I like that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Galactic factions.
Galactic, yeah. And then I get to create something. So I'm thinking, so far in the Treaty of Parallels era, we never established when the treaty actually happened.
Yes, there's no specific location where...
We say this is now agreed upon.
All right, I'm going to say this is light, even though it may not sound like it at first. And this is actually going in the Treaty of Parallels.
Okay.
Five of the seven human/Noct systems reject the Treaty of Parallels, citing grievances of various species among lower classes and limitations in scientific and technological advancement. They form the FRC, the Five Rings Coalition, and focus on giving aid to less advanced systems.
Hmm. Ooh, I like that.
Where is that going in the...
It's going to go at the end of the Treaty of Parallels.
So we do know that the Treaty of Parallels is established.
By the end of the period.
Yeah. I like the political strength of that one.
It kind of establishes, too, that the humans, when they dispersed, didn't have the capability to just recolonize on their own.
Yeah.
They had to sort of latch on to other groups, so.
I like that. So that's the human/Noct.
But it says five of the seven. Yes. So there are some human and Noct systems that are on board with the treaty.
Those are the ones that are in higher standing of yeah. technological advancement.
Could probably. Be.
What's the logistics of these travel portals?
The interdimensional travel?
Yeah.
We have not worked out the exact science of that. Okay. Basically, basic idea is at a ship. So far, we've only done ships, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A ship can open up a interdimensional portal to travel from one point in their galaxy to another. Now, at some
more
point...
More like a wormhole, except it's jumping dimensions to do it.
And also at some point, so at first it was not known that they're actually using other dimension space to do
yes.
this.
Now is yeah. it the presence of the ship that connects this idea of traveling, or is it we go beep, 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 and we go...
That's what I'm saying. We haven't worked out that science. Did we establish somewhere that it becomes known that they're using another dimension?
Well, we said that the Atua came from another dimension.
Maybe once the Atua come on board,
yeah,
like enter the scene, it's realized that, oh, this is another dimension that we're using.
But that is something that we could discuss next episode.
It is.
So thank you very much for listening to this episode of Bone Throwers Theater. We've developed a very interesting section in this world history using microscope. When we return next time, Ellie will be our lens. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. Our cast is Aaron, Ellie, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, and Jordan. We are releasing this podcast under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. That means you can share the podcast, but please do not modify it or try to gain financially from it. If you would like to visit our website, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater.com. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is bonethrowerstheater. You can also look us up on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And until next time, may the bones fall ever in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.